Talking about light, Moshe, when he was born, the room lit up with light. So the story is told, after his wedding, the Rav Aaron Cook, lived in Punavish with his esteemed father-in-law, the Aderet. While there, he evoked profound admiration from the townspeople. Rav Ush Bizai related that whenever the young scholar went to the local study hall, everyone came out of their homes and stared at him. And they would say that the Shekhinah rested upon him. There was something glowing about Rav Cook's face. Now, what was it that had his face shining? So I'll relate two more stories.
He was a handsome man,
but I think it's more than that. Rav Falakon Cook related, a few years after his marriage, Rav Cook visited Volozhin, where the Rosh Hashiva himself hosted him. I'm going to skip that story. I'll tell you an even more intense story. During his year of study at the famed Volozhin Yeshiva, Rav Cook used to sit alone in an isolated corner of the yeshiva until late at night. There he studied chapters of Halacha and Musar with great fervor by the light of a small kerosene lamp. The Nativ's wife recalled at one point Rav Cook's roommate noticed that the kerosene lamp disappeared every morning. Puzzled, he decided to search for it, and he eventually found it. To his surprise, he discovered a small piece of paper attached to it. What did Rav Cook have written right next to his little lamp that he was learning?
Please remove in mourning.
No. I have set the Lord before me always. Shifti Hashem l'negdi tamim. God is always placed before me. Apparently, the young Avram Yitzchak wanted to make sure that not to lose sight of the Creator's existence for even one moment, even while he was engrossed in Torah study. However, in order not to bring attention to his act of piety, he hid the soot-filled lamp every morning so that no one would notice. The Shifti Hashem L'Negdi Tamim. Because he didn't want people to think he was a tzaddik. Writing, reminders of to put God's presence before him. He's very humble.
That's why, by the way, his grave is like totally unmarked. We were searching for it. We couldn't. Rav Cook's.
Where are you buried?
We searched all over the place. Eventually, we found it by a miracle.
Where are you buried?
Haraz 18. I was just there a few weeks ago. It was his yard site. Right before.
It
says his name, but it's like just a regular grave. He was a chief rabbi. He was the first chief rabbi. You'd
but
think.
It's like with everyone else.
Just a regular grave. He would have known with everyone else. But it makes perfect sense because he was.
But isn't
it hard to do kind of
procedures
that
would bury him in the first place?
Maybe now, but back in the
day.
Did
he die pretty young?
No, I don't think so. Honestly, I think he was like 78. I don't think he was. I don't know. Okay, one last story, and then we can learn Chumash. Okay.
Two more, and I'll compromise.
Okay. Rav Yishol Kaniel, who eventually became the chief rabbi, described the Rav's incredible diligence in Torah study. No less than his God-given brilliance, he possessed a brilliance of effort, i.e. a diligence and perseverance that culminated in complete self-sacrifice for Torah. At the Volozhin Yeshiva, the dedication for Torah study was so superhuman, he learned 60 folio pages of Talmud a day, 30 blah.
Wow.
That, with commentaries in depth, that he eventually fell ill. The Nitziv came to visit and rebuked him for his unbounded zeal, saying, "This is Rav Cook." And the Nitziv came and gave him Musar and said, "Listen, Rabbi, you need to eat once in a while. Don't learn more than 16 hours a day." So, I was privileged to study with our mentor, the Rav. I witnessed the holy fire of love for Torah that burned in his heart like a flame that ascends of itself. Without constraints, only after expounding a great deal of effort was it possible to distract him from his learning and convince him to eat something for his own well-being. Late one night, several years later, I was walking with one of the wise men of Jerusalem. As we passed the Rav's house, we noticed that the lights were on. Curious to find out who was disturbing the Rav at such a late hour, after he had been preoccupied with such difficult issues throughout the day, we decided to look inside. To our utter amazement, we saw the Rav alone, running back and forth in his room with a large volume in hand, all the while swallowing page after page with unprecedented zeal. I then turned to my companion and said, "Now I can believe what I once heard. Someone told me that when our master was the Rav of Jaffa, he once reviewed the entire Talmud Bavli in 30 days. Indeed, his extraordinary grasp, coupled with such profound diligence, enables him to traverse all the ways of the Sea of Talmud in a very short time." Gavalt. Wow. Anyways.
Rav Keats, you know where there are classes?
In Rav Rosenfels, it's here.
Okay. Oh, fear. So here, where's the class?